Good morning. In our Bible study of baptism, we've seen that it is essential to salvation, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and Acts 22:16. It is also essential to becoming disciples of Christ, Matthew 28:19-20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." In our study, we've also seen that immersion is not pouring or sprinkling. The Greek words can only mean immersion. Pouring and sprinkling do not fit the figures used to describe baptism in the New Testament. Scholars are unanimous that immersion was the practice in the New Testament. We also saw that it was for penitent believers only, for sinners with faith in the Lord Jesus who have repented for their sins, not infants who are incapable of faith and repentance. Another question that is often raised, is there ever a need to be rebaptized? What about those who were sprinkled? What about those baptized as infants? What about those baptized believing they were already saved? This study examines the question of rebaptism first by noticing a case of rebaptism in the New Testament. It is recorded in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. As we look at the background information that is found in Acts chapter 18, 24 through 28, "Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, well versed in the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and expounded to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote the disciples to receive him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully confuted the Jews in public, showing by the Scriptures that the Christ was Jesus." Apollos had been teaching the baptism of John, but he himself was taught more accurately by Aquila and Priscilla. Paul finds some disciples at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 3. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, 'Have you received the Holy Spirit since you have believed?' And they said unto him, 'We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit.' And he said unto them, 'Unto what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Unto John's baptism.' Upon further examination, he has them rebaptized. In verse 4 and 5, then said Paul, 'John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.'" There are some observations that we need to point out. First of all, they had been previously baptized. Secondly, their baptism was lacking in some way, even though it was immersion, even though it was for the remission of sins, Mark 1, verse 4. But their baptism was not in the name of Jesus or by his authority. In Acts 2, and verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Acts 10, verse 48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Acts 19, verse 5, "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus," which would have been a baptism into the name of the Father, Holy Spirit, and the Son, Matthew 28:19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit," which would have been a baptism into the death of Christ, by which they would have been clothed in Christ, Romans 6:3-7. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore were buried with him by baptism into death. The like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Galatians 3, verse 27, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Because their first baptism lacked an essential element, rebaptism was necessary. May we not conclude that if an earlier baptism lacks some essential element, then rebaptism is necessary? To determine whether rebaptism is required of us, consider when rebaptism is appropriate. Four elements constitute Bible baptism: the proper mode, a burial, immersion, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And Colossians 2 verse 12. It requires the proper authority or in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 19 verse 5. The proper purpose, for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, and the proper subject, a penitent believer, Acts 2 verse 38, Acts 8:37, and Mark 16:16. When one element is lacking, rebaptism was commanded. In Acts 19 verses 1 through 5, the proper authority was lacking, even though their previous baptism had the right mode, purpose, and subject. Rebaptism was commanded. Let's apply what we've learned. If we were baptized by sprinkling or pouring, as practiced by Catholics and Lutherans and Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Methodists, and others, our baptism lacked the proper mode, immersion. Rebaptism would be required. If we were baptized by the authority of anyone other than Jesus, such as Ellen G. White, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Watchtower Society, Jehovah's Witnesses, or Joseph Smith, Mormons, and others, our baptism was not by the right authority, Jesus Christ. Rebaptism would be, therefore, necessary. If we were baptized as a public confession of faith, thinking we were already saved, as practiced by most Baptists, Assemblies of God, and others, our baptism was not for the right purpose, remission of sins. Rebaptism would be required to ensure we have been scripturally baptized. Finally, if we were baptized but were not penitent believers, as is the case when people are baptized when all their friends are doing it, or because their spouse or fiance or parents are pressuring them to do it, and they do it to please them and not God, as infants incapable of faith or repentance, if our case fits any of these, our baptism was lacking the right subjects, and that is, the penitent believer. Our need for rebaptism would be just as great as any other. In summarizing what has been said in this study, if our baptism lacked any of the four essential elements of Bible baptism, the proper mode, immersion, the proper authority, Jesus Christ, the proper purpose for remission of sins, the proper subject, a penitent believer, then rebaptism is both appropriate and necessary to ensure that our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But perhaps I should clarify, when one is baptized because their first baptism lacked an essential element, it is not really rebaptism. Technically speaking, the person is being baptized scripturally for the first time. When one has been scripturally baptized once, there is never a need to be baptized again. For once we've clothed ourselves with Christ in baptism, the blood of Christ continually cleanses us of our sins, as we repent and confess our sins to God in prayer, Acts 8:22, 1 John 1, verse 9. Friends, have you been scripturally baptized? If you desire assistance, please feel free to let me know. May God bless you in your efforts to do His will. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.